We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse number 12. I believe this is one of my favorite passages about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? This is a logical statement here as Paul goes on, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. There's no one to trust. You're yet in your sins. There is no forgiveness of sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. There's no hope for our loved ones that have gone on before us. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Paul is speaking about the gospel. He starts that off in the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, and he begins to speak about the resurrection. Now, the church in Corinth was a very wicked city. I know about those wicked cities, of course, in California. Corinth was such a wicked city, and immorality was the order of the day, and immorality and this wickedness didn't just stay outside the church. No, it came in. And all throughout 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking about various issues, and now we get to chapter 15, and he's saying, okay, let's get back to the gospel. Let's get back to the basics. This morning, I want to speak for a few moments on if there be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? In Paul's day, there were those that denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have people today that deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago watching an interview by a man by the name of Bart Ehrman. He is the New Testament professor at the University of North Carolina. He is an atheist, go figure. He does not believe that Jesus is God. He does not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He wrote a book called Jesus Interrupted, The Hidden Contradictions of the Bible and Why We Haven't Known About Them Until Now. He's kind of saying, well, I've got the corner on truth, all of these hidden contradictions. He doesn't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And there are those that don't believe in the resurrection today. Paul had those same issues. The Sadducees were a group of people that did not believe in the resurrection. And as you probably have heard, someone has quipped, that's why they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. And people hate Jesus Christ. There is such a disdain for the name of Jesus Christ. You can mention all other types of gods, but don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. If he were a dead Savior, it wouldn't matter. But he is risen again. And so, and there's been times where I've thought, when I've had different jobs that, you know, people would take the Lord's name in vain, and I've thought to myself, you know, maybe I should just shout out, you know, oh my Muhammad, you know, or oh my Buddha. I never have done that, but I've had that thought, and you don't hear his name, those names being taken in vain, but you certainly hear the name of Jesus Christ being taken in vain. And if he was a dead Savior, it would not matter. What matters is what you put your faith in, and there were a group of people that did not believe that Christ rose from the grave. Now, what you put your faith in is a matter of eternal life or eternal death. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse number 6, Thomas said, how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there are people that do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is going to lead them to death. It's going to lead them to an eternity without Christ in the lake of fire. And so there are people in the Bible times that did not believe in the resurrection. And so Paul goes on to have logical conclusions. If there is no resurrection, then Christ is still dead. Then our preaching is vain. We're still in our sins. We are found false witnesses of God because if he had not risen from the grave. Now, Satan hates this mighty doctrine of the resurrection. He is opposed to the doctrine of the resurrection. It seals his doom forever. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And I love the verse in Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I love that verse. We know that in the end, God wins. One of my pastors years ago, he was a big Indianapolis Colts football fan, and he says, I'd watch the game and record the game on Sunday. Of course, he's preaching and things, and he says, I'd watch it as if it was just happening live. He says, then there's other times where I'll look at the score. And as he goes through the game, and if the Colts are down by 21 points, it doesn't matter because he knows in the end they're going to win. There can be fumbles, there can be interceptions, there can be all kinds of things, but he knows somehow the Colts are going to pull out that game. They're going to win the game. Oh, we've read the book of Revelation. We know in the end God wins, that we're on the winning side. We can have all kinds of things happen here. And as I travel across the country, so many Christians are discouraged. And they've got their eyes upon the things of this world and not having our eyes upon the things above. And so we know in the end God wins. But as you look, think about if there be no resurrection, you go to the place of Calvary, go to Golgotha. You see the scene of him upon the cross as he's there and his final moments on the cross. He has been betrayed by Judas. He has been denied by Peter, forsaken by his followers. He's been tortured and beaten beyond recognition, more than any other man. He cries out and says, it is finished, paid in full. That was the word used on receipts back then, meaning paid in full. And then he cries out and gives up the ghost. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And his body then is lifeless upon that cross. They bring him down upon the cross. They take out the nails out of his hands and the nails out of his feet. They wrap him in that burial clothing and they place him in that borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. You think of how the disciples and all the followers were so heartbroken. Here was the one that was supposed to redeem them. Here was the one that was supposed to save them, that he was going to come and rule and reign. And all that they thought was going to happen isn't now. He's dead. He's crucified. And so there's such a heartbreak with the followers, and they're devastated because all hope seems to be gone. In this tomb lies a body, the body of a man named Jesus of Nazareth, called the Christ, the body of a man who claimed to be the great I Am of the Old Testament, the body of a man who said all things were made by him, the body of one who was to restore the kingdom of David, the body of one who prophesied, destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up again. But of course, speaking of his body, the body of a man who seemed to hold super spiritual powers to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to make the lame walk, to make the blind see, to cast out devils. The body of a man who said to his disciples after the resurrection, meet me in Galilee. The body of one who was transfigured before the three and were told not to say anything until after the resurrection. The body of a man who said, I and my Father are one. The body of a man who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Were they right when they mocked him and said, he saved others, but he himself he cannot save? You see, if there be no resurrection, then our faith is vain. What we're doing here this morning does not matter. It's futile. It's useless. The tracts that we have to give out to the gospel, it's wasted. We might as well stop ordering tracts. We might as well stop handing out tracts if there be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection, we might as well stop praying for the missionaries and stop supporting missionaries, because what they're doing is a wasted life. If there's no resurrection, If there be no resurrection, then let's just stop the ministries that we're involved in now, because it's just useless, it's vain. Let's stop being concerned about eternity's values. Let's stop giving in the offering plate and giving to perpetuate the gospel of Christ. Let's stop taking care of the grounds and don't worry about the nursery and the children, because there's no message important enough for families to hear if there be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection, then we can just go ahead and shut the lights off and close the doors. If there be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection, then pastor can stop studying for his messages. He can stop preaching. He can stop praying for you, because his prayers don't matter. His prayers aren't going to impact your life if there is no resurrection. You can stop praying for him, because your prayers don't matter either if there be no resurrection. We can stop singing the songs of Zion. We can stop preaching the word of God if there be no resurrection. Because all gospel preaching that has been is going on now, and what will be is absolutely useless. All preachers have become notorious liars. All present faith, past faith, present faith, and future faith is futile. All Christians are right now in hell if there is no resurrection. All living Christians are still in their sin. All reason and purpose for life itself is destroyed if there be no resurrection. The time that we've spent in prayer for those that are lost has been wasted. The time that we've spent in prayer for others is of no value if there be no resurrection. If there be no resurrection, Christ is still dead. If there be no resurrection, atheists have triumphed over Christians. Agnostics have travailed over believers. If there be no resurrection, the world has subdued the church. We're still hopelessly lost in our sin. We still owe the debt of sin, which is hell. Christ died to save us from that hell. If there be no resurrection, then evil has conquered good. Demons have beaten the angels. Hell has conquered heaven. Eternal death has been victorious over eternal life. Satan has won. Christ has lost if there be no resurrection. Oh, I can imagine there as Christ his body is put in that tomb. He is dead, and Satan, I can imagine he's rejoicing in those things, but yet he's also nervous, because he knows that Christ has said, okay, on that third day he's going to rise again. And maybe he goes to demon death and on that first day, and he says, now demon death, you've got him? Do you have him? And he says, oh, I've got him. I've got him. And so he comes back the second day. Now, demon death, do you still have him? He says, I've got him. I've got him. And he started thinking about as he has had so many people that have died, there's only two that have gotten away from his grasp. That was Enoch and Elijah, the two that got away. But here, demon death, on that third day, Satan comes to him and says, do you have him, demon death? And he says, well, I still. And then Jesus Christ rises from the grave. He says, I can't hold on to him any longer. He's gone. And at that moment, Jesus Christ, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And he conquered death. And he conquered sin. There is an empty tomb. There is a risen Savior. And we aren't men that are most miserable. Look there in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Since there is a resurrection, God wins. Since there is a resurrection, we're on the winning side as well. If you're saved today, you're on the winning team. Since there is a resurrection, we can give thanks to God, which giveth us the victory, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says. And Romans chapter 8 is true, that we are more than conquerors because of the resurrection. Oh, we may feel oppressed this side of glory. We may have no money this side of Beulah land, but we may face many obstacles this side of Zion's hill, but this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Why? Because Jesus Christ gets the victory. Since there is a resurrection, we have a high priest who knows our infirmities. We have an advocate defending our case, a joint heir preparing our inheritance, a chief cornerstone building our mansion, an intercessor translating our prayers, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. a Savior who purchased our redemption, a lily of the valley to cheer us up of our day, the bread of life to sustain us as we go, the great I Am to help us to become what God wants us to be. Why? Because there is a resurrection. Since there is a resurrection, I'm expecting the rapture of the believers, and it could happen today. That would be a wonderful, wonderful Resurrection Sunday. I'm expecting a rapture of the believers, a judgment seat of Christ, a marriage supper of the Lamb, a tribulation of the lost, a glorious second coming of Christ, a complete victory at Armageddon, a millennial reign of Christ, a great white throne of judgment, and a new Jerusalem descending from heaven. Why? Because of the resurrection. Even the disciples, one of the best witnesses and testimonies of Christ rising from the grave is the disciples didn't believe that it was happening. Of course, you have Thomas and others. They had forgotten what Christ had told them. They had that stubborn unbelief and were convinced and had to be convinced that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. There was the seal of the tomb and the Roman guards that were put about it. To try to stop him. And of course, the stone was rolled away, not so that Christ could get out, but so they could see in. And our Lord appeared no less than 17 times after his resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ proved his deity. Curtis Hudson said, "The resurrection of Jesus distinguishes and makes Christianity superior to all other religions of the world." Someone has rightly said, "Christianity begins where all other religions end, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ." All other religions can point to a founder. They can point to that founder's grave. But there is no religion other than Christianity that can point to an empty tomb and say, "Our founder was buried there, and on the third day, he rose again and came out of that tomb." In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, he prophesied his resurrection. "From that time forward, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Every prophecy about his death and resurrection was fulfilled. And it is a promise of our own resurrection that we have hope in Christ, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. I love watching baptisms. Is that also as another illustration of the resurrection of Christ, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Why? Because of the resurrection. It was the theme of the apostles' preaching in the book of Acts, as well as the apostle Paul's letters to the first century churches. According to historians, the apostles died the following martyrs' deaths. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified. James, the son of Zebedee, was killed by the sword. John died a natural death, although he was persecuted and exiled. Philip was crucified. Bartholomew was crucified. Thomas was thrust through with a spear. Matthew was killed by the sword. James, the son of Alphaeus, was crucified. Thaddeus was killed by arrows. Simon the Zealot was crucified. And Paul was beheaded. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the belief that turned heartbroken followers of a crucified rabbi into the courageous witnesses and martyrs of the early church. This was the one belief that separated the followers of Jesus from the Jews and turned them into the community of the resurrection. You can imprison them, flog them, kill them, but you could not make them deny their conviction that on the third day he rose again. Oh, since there is a resurrection, let's keep giving out the gospel. Since there is a resurrection, that tract that you hand to somebody can make a difference for all eternity. Since there is a resurrection, let's keep praying for the missionaries that you support. Let's keep supporting those missionaries because it does make a difference for the gospel of Christ. It can make an eternal difference in people's lives. Since there is a resurrection, keep studying for the Sunday school classes. Keep the nursery open because there is a message that can impact the families that come. Since there is a resurrection, be concerned about the lost that are around you, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors. Since there is a resurrection, sins can be forgiven. Souls can be saved from hell and eternity in the lake of fire. Your pastor can keep on praying for you because it does make a difference in your life. And you can keep praying for him because it makes a difference in his life. Since there is a resurrection, let's keep singing the songs of Zion. Let's keep preaching the word of God since there is a resurrection. Paul summarizes as he goes back and forth, and you look there at the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, after all that you've heard, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer.